Nice to see everyone here tonight, even though there is a little snow out there, but it's good. Appreciate your coming and the effort, and we'll try and stop right on time, if that is possible. Now, if you haven't been here before, we're glad to see you tonight, and if you've been here every night, we're still delighted to see you. I trust that the Lord will bless His word to all our hearts. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about this part of the chart here, where I'm moving around here. We have already seen that the Lord Jesus Christ is about to come, and He will snatch away the people of God, and we'll be moving right in here to heaven. And last night we talked about the events that will follow that gathering together in the air. And tonight we're going to talk about conditions and events on earth. And this particular blue part of the chart here, that is between the two aspects of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, there are many, many people who don't believe it. I even heard recently that there's no scripture to prove it. Now, you have to rightly divide the word of truth to understand what this is about. So many tonight believe that this coming here and this coming here are all one. Now, if you believe that, these contradictions in the Bible. But there are no contradictions in the Bible. So, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes tonight, very soon thereafter, the great tribulation will commence. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we'll read some of these scriptures. There's Daniel's 70th week, or the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And that will be in chapter 9. We'll read that. And then the covenant that is made between the Jewish nation and the man of sin for 7 years. The temple rebuilt. And then the time of Jacob's trouble and so on. And then that time the gospel will be preached, as we'll see. And then Babylon the Great will be destroyed and what it means. And then the judgments that will follow. So, there's a vast area tonight. We have only a short time, and I'm going to summarize it. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, please ask me, and we'll try and help you as best we can. Now, don't forget the question box. If you want to know when we're going to answer the questions, well, we might not have an opportunity tonight, but tomorrow night we should maybe address that great need. So we're going to start off, please, in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Can you find Jeremiah, please? Chapter 30. And we're going to talk about the tribulation, the great tribulation. And I'll pick out some of the basic, simple scriptures of the Bible that we read. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. And I've pointed out to you on the chart Jacob's trouble. This is where it comes from. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And when we're talking about Jacob's trouble, it is the trouble associated with the nation of Israel. Now, Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24. And these are very basic, simple scriptures that we can talk about a little later. Now, the Lord is speaking here, verse 21, Matthew chapter 24. Now, most certainly, this is a verse you need to know. For then shall be great tribulation. Notice what it says next. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Now I want to say to you tonight, that's the verse in the Bible that teaches, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the tribulation is unique. Got it now? If you're a young person here tonight, saved or you're an unbeliever, we're delighted to see you. If there was nothing like it before, And there will not be nothing like it beyond. It must be unique. One of the one only. The great tribulation. Now there's much in this chapter about it. Let's just read that next verse. Verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, the book of Daniel, please, chapter 9. And if ever you're going to understand prophecy, you better know a little about Daniel chapter 9. And take time to read it, and you'll get a little profit for your soul. Now, because our time is brief, I will just give you the bottom line and all of these things. Now, verse 25 of Daniel chapter 9. Now, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel, telling him about the future of the nation of Israel, and Daniel is in the land of Babylon. So, got the place now, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore, and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now, when you and I talk about a week, and let me just tell you this as we read on, we think of a week of 7 days. Today is Wednesday. But whenever we're talking in this passage, it is weeks of years. And if you want positive proof about that, I'll be happy to show you. Right, now let's read on. Now he speaks in verse 26, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Now, obviously that's Calvary. Messiah is the Lord Jesus. All right, now, verse 27, for sake of time, he, that is the man of sin, he shall confirm the covenant with many, for 1 week. That's the nation of Israel we're talking about. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What does that all mean? Well, what that means is this in a simple paragraph. In the midst of Daniel's 70th week, as we'll see, there's going to be a change in the sacrifices that's been offered. And these men will desecrate the very temple in Jerusalem, and the abomination of desolation set up. Now, I didn't read about it, but it's in Matthew chapter 24, and the Lord spoke about it. And that equates to Revelation chapter 13, where the image of the beast will be set up, and the whole world will wonder after the beast. So it will replace everything that's associated with God. That's the abomination of desolation. Now, we'll get into that in a minute or two. So, in this particular time, there are going to be men that will arise that are outstanding in their character. We'll read about them just when we're here. Chapter 7 of Daniel. And I'll just read you about verse number 8. I considered the horns. This is the visions of Daniel. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. Those horns he's talking about up the chapter, but we won't take time to deal with that. Before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now that's the man of sin. And we'll read about him in a minute. And if you don't believe me, I will be happy to sit down and talk to you. All right, chapter 8. And I'll read you here verse 23 when we're here. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And then all the different things about him. Now I believe that man to be a different individual from the one that we have read. Now let's just finish off then in the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. Find now the epistle of the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians, please, and we'll just read here in chapter 2. All right. So we'll just read for sake of time in verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now that's Paul talking to these believers in Thessalonica. For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Now that word falling away is apostasy. And if you don't know what apostasy means, talk to me afterwards. Please notice the next statement. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now people ask me all the time, where do you get some of these expressions? I want to tell you, dear people, we get it in the Bible. The man of sin, I'll be telling you about him tonight. Here's it right here, right in the Bible. Okay? That's simple, isn't it? All right, now, about this man, verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now we could read all kinds of other scriptures, but I'll read you one more in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And this is now another outstanding character, personage, that is going to arise. And for sake of time, verse 11. And I beheld, John says, another wild beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a young lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. That's the first part of this chapter, whose deadly wound was healed, and so on. Now, all kinds of other references we can make, and the more I read, maybe the more you'll get confused. I hope not. Now the Lord will bless His word to all our hearts. All right. Now I have tried to search my own heart today to try to put across to you this great theme that we're going to address. And I can remember a short time ago, I was just a young person sitting in the meetings the same as you are tonight. And I wondered what it was all about, and the faintest clue. Now if you're here tonight, thank the Lord, you're in the place where the Spirit of God can speak to you and tell you something about this great thing. Now, maybe the easiest and simplest way to talk about this is to think of the basic, simple formula for prophetic truth, future events. Where do you get that? You get it in Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. Now, I didn't even read all the statements because you'd be so confused that you won't know what it means. Now, here's the bottom line. Daniel is a prophet of the Lord. He's around 90 years of age. He's in Babylon. He was carried away captive as a young boy, maybe 15 years of age or 16, thereabouts. Daniel chapter 1. He's now in his 90s. He's reading the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. I didn't read it, but it's there for you to read. And Jeremiah tells Daniel and everybody else that when the 70 years of captivity are up, God is going to work. Now that gets Daniel all concerned, and he wants to know the future for the nation of Israel. So all prophecy surrounds the nation of Israel and the nations of earth and the person of the Lord Jesus. Now here's your bottom line. So that Daniel can understand what prophecy is all about, the Lord says to him, I want you to think of 70 weeks of years. So that's 70 multiplied by 7, 490 years. So where the very point where he is in Babylon at this particular time, and there he's listening to what the angel says, and he has got something to tell him, that there are three big days ahead for the nation of Israel from the moment that Daniel's listening. Number one, Nehemiah chapter 2, there's a day coming when the wall of Jerusalem city will be built again in troublous times. Now we'll forget all about dates, then you won't get confused. Now from Daniel's listening to the moment that that edict goes out is 7 weeks. Not of days, of years. The word is heptad. And I'll be able to prove to you at the end of the meeting if you want to know, but at this point you must take it from me that we're talking about years. So 7 by 7 is 49 years. And from this particular point, back to Nehemiah chapter 2, 49 years, the edict went out. God was there. Now from that point forward to the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified on Calvary, it's 62 by 7. So you add the 49 to 62 by 7. You come up with 483 years. And Sir Robert Anderson in The Coming Prince, the book that's very helpful, it's very involved, he proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Scripture was fulfilled to the very day. It's amazing. Now I'm building a case now, so I hope nobody's sleeping here. Those are all literal. And 69 have been fulfilled. And that brings us to our chart here tonight. See that there? 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. So this is one of the gaps of the Bible. Between the 69th year of prophecy and the 70th year of prophecy, there's a big gap. Daniel didn't know anything about it. And the clue. And in that gap, you and I are privileged to live. See this thing here? This big image here. This was in Daniel's day. So, from Calvary here, right until the snatching away of the saints, that whole area there. Daniel knew nothing about it. That's the gap. The age of grace that we're living in tonight. Now I won't go over the ground we've already covered. So, whenever God has stopped dealing with the nations of earth as he is tonight, for example, you see, God taking from the Gentiles a people for his name. When the last soul is saved, the Lord will come, and then God will take up the nation of Israel again, and then Daniel's 70th week will commence. That day hasn't come yet. Now it's pretty obvious to me that if the first 69 years, weeks of years, were literal, the 70th one will be literal. And that's where we get our 7 from. And that's what the chart says. Look.
from that line there, that black line there, to this black line here, 7 years. I'll challenge you tonight. If anybody in this audience can tell me, or anybody else for that matter, where this line here will start relative to time, nobody knows, only God. So the Lord Jesus Christ comes tonight, in a very short time, Daniel's 70th week will commence. Now let's just talk about the start of it. Conditions in the world. Just ponder and stop a minute to think where we are tonight in the big picture. I want you to think about it. The corruption of planet Earth tonight is absolutely outstanding. It's exceedingly sinful in the eyes of a holy God. Now I ask you tonight, as I ask my own heart, do you think that that will continue forever? I think not. So what's going to happen? Well, God's long-suffering will finish, and then his governmental dealings will start with man. Grace will finish, and then governmental dealings when judgment will start. How about the red ink in the world tonight? I'm not talking about the red ink that you put your pen in. I'm talking about the financial picture tonight. Do you know that our province of British Columbia is $300 billion? The wrong way. Fantastic. And the nation of Canada is floating in red ink. All you have to do is go down there to the ferries and see those big boats that's happening and the fiasco down there. Just to give you, for instance, see the big city, the big country to the south of us, the U.S., richest country in the world. The red ink there is trillions now. What's a trillion? 1 and 18 zeros. Fantastic. Our little minds can't take it in. But I want to impress you tonight, that can't go on forever. Something has got to happen. The Lord is going to come, and then we're into this. Now, the world is so sinful tonight, and they have no time for the gospel. Sorry to have to say. Kamloops is no different. I stood recently, a few months ago, in Malaysia, in the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. And I was taken down to the very center of the city. And I stood there on one Saturday afternoon and watched the thousands, the tens of thousands, the myriads of people moving everywhere. And very, very few know the Lord Jesus Christ. The big picture tonight, millions are on their way to eternal disaster. What a sad picture. Now in that environment, the old devil is going to come down to earth. And he's going to impersonate man. And he has three of them to work with. I'll summarize them. The man of sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read about him. He's a political man tonight. Take it from me. He's the head of the Western Confederacy. Where is that all centered? In Europe tonight. You were in Brussels tonight in Belgium, you would know a little more about it. Here's another man, he's called the false prophet. He will likely be a Jew. I read about him there in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 down. He's the religious leader, and he's in cahoots with the political leader. Now many of our dear brethren, that's all they see of these outstanding individuals for Daniel's 70th week. But I take it there's another one. And he's the king of the fierce countenance. He's described there in Daniel chapter 8. That's why I read that scripture. And he's the king of the north. Many have been telling us that he's from Russia. I wonder about that. It's north of Palestine tonight. And the king of the north is coming likely from the location of the old Assyria, the Iraq area, Iran, in that general area. There's over 1 billion people tonight from the Muslim faith, so-called, that bow to Allah 5 times to the east. I was interested again whenever I was in Malaysia that in the local paper, it tells you, I used to look at it every day, and it used to tell me as I was out early in the morning there at 6 o'clock and reading it, AM I'm talking about, 5 times a day, these are the times that you people will bow to Allah. Imagine in the public press. Those people tonight, they're wanting to take over the world, and the great leader is the king of the north, the king with a fierce countenance. We're not racists here. These are dear individuals that have got souls that will live forever. But I'm telling you tonight about the international arena of our world. It's about to start. The Lord's coming. Now, whenever this happens, these three will be involved in the drama of those years. Now, there are so many side issues. But I don't want to get into that. So now we've talked a little about the start of the week and the conditions that will prevail in the world. And in the chart, here's it here. Now we're going to see tomorrow night, and I don't want to anticipate that, but I'll just tell you this about tomorrow night. We're going to talk about the second aspect of the second coming of Christ. But I'll tell you something. People say, well, whenever the Lord comes, will the Holy Spirit of God go? Yes, he will. I'll read you the verses to prove it. And then people say, well, how are people going to get saved? Well, I didn't read you it, but in Daniel and Revelation chapter 7, there's 144,000 that I believe to be literal people, literal men. They're likely living in the world tonight somewhere, over the acres of earth. And whenever the time comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, there won't be one believer left, not one. The world will be without a believer in the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God, in the way that he came down in Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, will have gone home to heaven. But millions are going to be saved. Revelation chapter 7. How are they going to get it? Now listen carefully to this. The 144,000 will already be in the world, and by a miracle, the Bible will still be here. Whoever they are tonight, God alone knows where they are and who they are. They'll read the Bible, and through faith in Christ, they'll learn their need and understand that the one that died on Calvary died for them, and instantly they'll begin to preach. And in the four corners of our world, they're likely living tonight. When the time comes, they'll just spring up overnight, and they'll begin to preach. And an innumerable company that no man can number of the Gentile nations will be saved through their instrumentality. Now again, I didn't read in the book of Revelation, but let me just show you then about conditions at the start of the week, before we get into the next point. So, I hope you're following now. Let's go up here now to this chart again. See here? 7 seals. 7 trumpets. And 7 vials. Now, Revelation is the book of sevens. This area up here, as we saw the other night, is heaven. Revelation 4 and 5 takes place right there. And for our purposes, I have called it the courtroom of heaven, where the throne of God is established forever. And all administration and every move will be made for the universe from heaven. Now, the book of Revelation can be covered in 4 visions. And John gets a look on the first day of the week, the Lordly Day, and he gets a future, a panoramic view of the church and a revelation of Christ. But then what will happen to this old world? And from chapter 6 to chapter 19, these three sets cover conditions. Now, the seals, they make announcements. It's a very intelligent way to look at it. They announce what's ahead. These trumpets, they cause alarm. And each of the sevens are divided into two. Haven't time to look at that tonight. And they will cover the first part of the week. But after the middle of the week, as we'll see in a moment, they will hear toward the end of the week are the vials. Conditions under them, as they're poured out on a Christless world, it will be agony to millions that live on planet Earth. So God has an announcement to make, and he has an alarm to give. And he has agony ahead for people. A God of love? Absolutely. Why? Men turn the Savior down. The Lord gives, God can give them, there's no alternative. They have to come in for the judgment of God. Now, I'll give you the next point. We'll go now to the middle of the week. So, the Bible talks about Daniel's 70th week. The middle of the week, 3.5 years. And then it talks about times, and a time, and a half a time. That's 3.5 times. And then it talks about 1,260 days. And then it talks about 42 months. And the whole thing focuses to the center of the week. Why is that so significant? Now, hundreds of scriptures are fulfilled. I didn't read them, but I'll quote them to you, or I'll tell you about them. You see, here's the way it goes. At the start of this 70th week of years, this man called the man of sin, the political individual of that day, is going to say to the religious man, the head of the Jewish faith, so-called, the nation of Israel, guess what? I'm going to do something for you. Oh, what's that? You have been battered and torn for centuries, and everybody in the world wants to put the Jew into the ground. Isn't that right? The political man from the West will turn around and say, guess what? I'll protect you. I'll protect your flanks, your borders, and there's nobody will get into Israel again. Sit back and relax. Oh, the Jews will think it's great. And in the first half of the week, this political man will have great success. And he'll be able to talk and negotiate. And that's when the mark of the beast will be seen, and there'll be no trading without it and all the rest of it. And he will control the currency. And oh, there's all kinds of things that we can talk about tonight. And this man is so powerful and he's so great. And everybody says, at last, peace. But it didn't last. In the middle of the week, he finds out he can't handle it. What happens now? The covenant with the nation of Israel is broken. And he steps back a place. And now the tribulation as we know it will really commence. The great tribulation. Never was known before. People tell me all the time, it was always a lot of the people of God to suffer. Right. And they always had to go through trial and tribulation. Right. And they will always go through it in the future. Right. But I want to tell you something that's further to that. This is unique in its character. The Lord said it. You've never had it before. You'll never have it again. That's what's ahead for this old world. And whenever that covenant's broken, things will deteriorate. It will be dreadful in the extreme. I wouldn't like to be living in planet Earth in those conditions. And those who have heard the gospel of the grace of God in this day and have come to the years of accountability and said no to the Lord Jesus and to the Spirit of God, the Lord comes tonight, they'll be left to face these awful days. Tragic in extreme. Now, as I'm talking to you, all kinds of other lines of truth flood into my head. But I want to leave those now because I want to get on with the main stream. Now, in those circumstances, now I want you to listen carefully to this, because even since I have come to Kamloops, people have been talking about this. And they say to me, you know, the church that we know it today, people of God, they're going through the great tribulation.
What?
Yeah. I met an individual, not in Kamloops, but just recently, told me of a certainty. This is the lot of the believers, and they're going through this awful time that I have described. Now, I want to tell you tonight that that's not right. That's wrong. Oh, somebody says you're very dogmatic. I'll quote you a verse. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, is speaking to those people in Philadelphia. And He said, listen to it now. Because you have kept the word of my patience to His own, I will keep thee from the hour, not a hour, the hour of temptation that shall come upon the whole world to try them that dwell on the earth. Now, there's a promise. God is as good as His promise. And the Lord will not rescind it. I want to say to you another thing. Do you think that our God is righteous? Well, people say, of course I do. Well, the most of the complement of Christ, the bride of Christ, is home in heaven tonight. Now, I want to tell you one more time. They're not in the grave. Their bodies are in the grave on land or sea. Some of them for thousands of years. But their spirits and their souls are in heaven. That's what Paul said, as we talked about even tonight, earlier. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Who's present with the Lord? Well, Paul. The day he leaves his body goes to corruption, but he goes home to heaven. See, you and I just live. The real me, you're not looking at. You're just seeing my body. It's what we call a tent of clay, a tenement of clay. And that will go to corruption. But the soul and the spirit that makes me God-conscious and self-conscious can never be destroyed. It will return to God that gave it, in that wide sense. That's Ecclesiastes. People are all confused and upset and talking stuff that doesn't stand the Bible. So, thank God tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has said the church will not go through the tribulation. And if the most of His church is home in heaven, do you think He would let a little part of it go through this awful time of tribulation and the rest of them remote in heaven? He doesn't work that way. Thank God tonight. I'm simple enough and happy enough to put my confidence in what God says. Thank God. Now, we have to continue. I'm going to again summarize the next part. First part of the week, conditions. We've described a little of them. Middle of the week, calamities. What happens? See the old devil? He falls from the air. Now, you look here at this chart, you'll see, as far as the devil is concerned, there he is there. I'll just point out to you on the map here. See that there? Sit, prince of this world. He's the god of this world. I'll just take a sidebar very quickly. You can't see the devil. And you can't see his evil emissaries. He's in the atmospheric heavens tonight. He's been relegated to the atmospheric heavens of the world. And there are millions of them tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. What do they do? Well, these are the principalities and powers, rulers of this darkness, satanic. But in the middle of the tribulation, he will be relegated to earth. And he knows that his time's short. So he comes now to earth. And how is he going to live on earth? Well, those three men that I have talked to you about, I call them supermen. The political man, the man of sin. The religious man, the false prophet. The king of the north, the king with a fierce countenance. He will impersonate those people. And they will be the leaders of that awful day. So there's war in heaven, Revelation chapter 12, and he's relegated, and he comes down to earth. And as we'll see later on, he will go down in here to the bottomless pit, but we're not there yet. But he will come down to earth, and here he is, around these activities, around here. The calamities and the atrocities in the middle of the week will be outstanding. You want to read some of those conditions? Read Matthew chapter 24. And the Lord predicted all about them. We have summarized them tonight. And he says it's been the great tribulation. Now, let's talk a little about the end of that tribulation. And now it's a further things intensify, and now it's catastrophes. Conditions, calamities, catastrophes. Now let's look at the chart. See that big word there? Armageddon. Revelation 16. What does that mean? It means mountain of slaughter. And there's a valley, the valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, and Palestine tonight is the very place where the Western Confederacy, the kings of the East, and the king of the North, and the king of the South will emerge. There will be a series of battles, of conflicts. And at the appropriate moment, at the end of Daniel's 70th week, the Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, Revelation chapter 19, and he will come right down to earth. And a number of different things will happen, as we'll see tomorrow night. But for our purposes tonight, that Armageddon there, that will finish the end of Daniel's 70th week. And every one of those people will be absolutely destroyed. And Revelation chapter 19 is the supper of the great God, where the birds will intensify, and they'll come in from all parts of the country and of that particular part of the world, and they will feed on those bodies. Oh, how dreadful. Talk about catastrophes. And then there'll be all kinds of difficulties in the heavens. And the moon will be turned to blood, the sun become dark, and all the rest of it, and the stars from heaven will fall. We haven't seen anything like that yet. That's coming. Catastrophes at the end of the week. And here's another one. Take a look at this chart again. See that up there, look? Babylon the Great. Now in those days, there will be Rome, and there will be Babylon. Now I believe that Babylon will be rebuilt. Some of our dear brethren don't believe that. Well, if you look at that, fair enough. We'll still be good friends. But I'm telling you, after careful meditation for many years, I've come to the conclusion that Babylon will be rebuilt. Revelation chapter 18. I understand tonight that in the land of Iraq, just east of it, there's a city called Babylon. I was talking to a gentleman that some of you might know, and he had hired a bicycle, and he had everything set up and planned.
And he was going to go in to see this city, and it's called Babylon. It's a literal city. And one day, the battle there in the Middle East, Desert Storm, took place. And there was a blanket right down. No tourist could ever get in there. But then you see, it has a moral equivalent. And it speaks of chapter 17 of Revelation. See that there? It speaks of all false, organized religion. Now, we're not here tonight to decry any cult, any ism, nothing. All I'm telling you is that the catastrophe of the end of Daniel's 70th week is this, that the millions of people that are deluded by wrong doctrine, the God of heaven will sweep them. See that there, look? That is a lady, a woman with a scarlet. And she sits on this beast. That there is the man of sin. And she's the whore that sits on great waters. Now some of our dear friends bring it down and they narrow it to Roman Catholicism and the different parts of it over here in this big image here. See there? They say that one, there's the west side and there's the east side. One is Roman Catholicism, and the other is the Greek Orthodox. Now, I want to suggest to you tonight, for your consideration, that there's a far bigger picture than that. Now, I can't go down all the different isms in the world, but you know there are millions of people involved tonight. Oh, how sad. There's enough tonight in the person of Christ and the infinite value of the sacrifice to save every one of them. But they don't want it. They've turned it down. That's why every person is a free will agent. And I'm among those that believe that every creature that's normal and has got their senses, the Spirit of God deals with them somewhere along the road, even though they've never read the Bible, even though they've never heard of the Lord Jesus. And they have to make a decision, yes or no. Oh, it's an alarming thing tonight as we think about it, that there are millions of people that will never be saved. Thank God I'm saved tonight. I hope you're thankful. We could have been among them. But you and I made that decision. Now we're back to this thing here. And whenever that happens, this woman here will be thrown off by the beast and she'll be destroyed. And it represents all false organized religion. And at the end of this Daniel's 70th week, that whole thing will be swept into the bosom of destruction. Oh, how sad. Those are awful days ahead for our whole world. And you can see tonight the stage has been set. And people are not interested and they're doing their own thing. Oh, dear soul, tonight if you're here without Christ, if I was in your shoes, I'd be crying to God for mercy, for salvation. Before the awful day comes. Tribulation that's ahead. Now it's not finished yet. But then you see, in every country of the world and every empire that has ever risen or fallen, take the last wars, the two world wars. There was an army out in the field, whether it was in the air or on the water or on the land. And they had to deal with the enemy. But then there was another greater army at home that was supporting them. So now, by the same token, when it comes to this particular time, Armageddon is the up front, that's the trenches, and all associated with it. God will deal with them. But then, behind that, we have the other great armies of civilians, and they will stand at the judgment of the living nations. Here's it there on the map. Maybe you can't see it. See that there? Judgment of the living nations. The sheep and the goats. I will deal with that tomorrow night. But that ends this particular part of the great tribulation. Oh, how sad happens here. Here's where it is. Look. It says here, there's the goods. From that place will be consigned to the lake of fire. These are catastrophic days ahead for this world. We can't put into it. Our minds are so lost and they're so limited. At least mine is anyways. That I can't take it in what it all means. Oh, awful days ahead for planet Earth. Why? Men have rejected Christ and turned him down. God can only do what I have suggested to you. Now, let me answer a question or two now, because the time's flying. Why do you think there will be a tribulation? It's a very, very good question. Hope you've thought about it. Now, I'm going to suggest to you tonight, I've told you that all prophecy surrounds the nation of Israel. And Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It all speaks of him. See? But tonight, the nation of Israel has a great future. They're beloved for the Father's sake. And blindness is in part happened unto them until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. More people than ever. I see literature even this very week that tells me that there's no future for Israel. Nonsense. Romans 11 shows there's a great future. There's a great millennium reign that's coming. But I want to tell you something. Before they get into that sphere, they have got to go through awful difficulties. Now let me tell you a bit about it. Do you know why there's a tribulation? Because, now from the human standpoint, I know there's a divine standpoint, but we're talking on the human level. See this tribulation here? God will allow the nation of Israel to go through tribulation days because they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is the man that told the very generation that crucified them right in Jerusalem. Ye are the ones that by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord. Stephen goes further and in chapter 7 he says, you're the murderers. They couldn't take it. Now listen. God has a great future for the nation of Israel, but they will not enjoy that blessing until they go through the sufferings and persecutions of the great tribulation. And because they crucified the Lord, and God thinks so much of his beloved Son, he won't allow men to get away with it, or nations either. And the nation of Israel will go through the pangs, the awful days ahead, because of what they did. Then, the nation is divided into two. There's the apostate part, those that have turned the light that they had, turned darkness in their soul, and they'll be turned down, and they will be banished into destruction. But the remnant will come into the good of Isaiah 53, and Zechariah chapter 13, where they'll mourn every family apart, and they'll receive their Messiah as individuals. And Isaiah 53 will be fulfilled to a letter. And a nation will be born in a day of individuals. And they'll go into the millennium reign of Christ. Now it's exactly the same process when a soul gets saved. When a soul gets saved, it's instant when they recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary for me. But we talk about soul trouble, conviction. Where the Spirit of God begins to deal with people and they begin to find trouble and sorrow and these things open up to their heart and they get all upset. That's the way it works. And every soul that's genuinely saved to a lesser or greater extent has got conviction of sin in their life. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. That's what it's all about. I can tell you by experience when it was opened up to me. In these days that we are living in, People are professing to be born again, and it's from their teeth out. Never has been a work of God on their soul. Thank God tonight it's possible for a soul to be saved. It's not a mental ascent. It's to learn your need as a poor, vile, lost, guilty sinner, and repent of your sin and turn to Christ, the only Savior of sinners, and understand that when he died on Calvary, he died for me. That's Isaiah 53, verse 5. And that's how the nation will be saved. And the great tribulation will finish. And then we're into a whole line of things again. So, I want to just finish. I have 2 minutes to finish this. Let me tell you about this. There's a very simple, basic principle that I learned from these catastrophic conditions that will happen at the end of Daniel's 70th week. What's that? These men that will commit such atrocities, like the Antichrist, the false prophet, the man of sin, and the king with a fierce countenance, they will come in under a universal law of God. What's that? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And because they deluded and fixed millions and turned them away and deceived them, here's what's going to happen to those two boys. There they're on the chart there. Look, see them? False prophet. Antichrist. Man of sin. Where are they going? Right into the lake of fire. So it doesn't matter what way you cut it. God won't allow men to reject his son, turn him down, and get away with it. Can't do it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you know what this means. What goes around, comes around. So we learn a very simple lesson here tonight. And all the practical import of what I have said to you, here's it. In the first part of the week, conditions are dreadful. But men are going to preach the gospel, the 144,000, and they're going to see murdered saved. Why aren't we preaching it in our day? Thank God for those who are interested. To tell it to the children, to the teenagers, to the older friends, and wherever we go, tell of the Savior that we have found. And in the worst of conditions, souls will be saved. And then that other promise in the middle of the week, as people will never go through the tribulation days. What kind of a salvation would that be? To have our sins forgiven and enjoy the presence of Christ, and then him allowing us to go through these dreadful days of tribulation? God is not unjust. Thank God. And then, of course, this basic principle I've talked about at the end of the week. So flowers and flowers will blossom around you wherever you go. So weeds, and of weeds reap a harvest. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. God, help us tonight to learn these simple lessons and to be intelligent as to days that lie ahead.